Off the Ball, GAA.
But the reason we carry a smaller panel is because some players can't live to those standards and cultures that we're trying to achieve.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, Chloe Mustaki earns an Ireland recall. Mason Melia makes history for the Ireland under-21s. And the latest on Trent Alexander-Arnold's future at Liverpool. But first, Chloe Mustaki has been called back into the Ireland women's squad. The Bristol City defender is part of Carla Ward's selection for the Nations League doubleheader against Greece next month. Celtic striker Saoirse Noonan is also recalled, while Leanne Kiernan is back after missing the last window with a calf injury. Shelburne's Aveen Clancy also gets the nod, with Ward revealing there would have been another domestic call-up if not for injury. Ward has had to factor without Louise Quinn, Tara O'Hanlon, Megan Connolly, Jamie Finn, Lily Ag and Jess Sue, due to various injuries. The manager gave her reasons behind Noonan's recall this morning.
Yeah, I had a conversation with her actually. And that first squad, very short period of time, you select certainly what you know. I think in the period where between the last camp and this camp, I've watched more fringe players and more players you know, that I don't know anything about. And I know a little bit about Saoirse, but I like what I see. She knows where the back of the net is, and look, we had what, 27 shots on goal against Slovenia, and I think that's where you probably wish you had a Saoirse Noonan in around the box, so deserves it. And what I will say is the conversations I've had with her, what an unbelievable human being, wants to learn, wants to be better, so passionate about the opportunity to represent her country again, and yeah, I can't wait to work with her.
And Ward's also been impressed by what she's seen from Clancy.
Yeah, do you know what, I really like her. I watched her at the President's Cup, and some of the stuff she did with a ball, and she reminded me of a little bit of a Kyra Cooney Cross at Arsenal in the way that she glides around a pitch. And I thought, she wears the same boots as her as well, by the way. And I really liked her. And then I said to Marnie Allen, I said, I won't tell you which players, there was three that stood out. She was one of them. And he was going to the game the following week, and I said, I won't tell you which players. And he called me at half time. He said, Aveen Clancy's a player. I said, she's the one that I was mentioning as well as another two.
And Ward spoke directly to our own Nathan Murphy.
What is your overall assessment then on the league and how you close that gap for the part-time players to go in with the full-time players, and what can be done?
Yeah, I think a lot can be done. I think we can play a massive part. I think something that, you know, we've spoken about quite a lot is how do we as an organisation help the League of Ireland. I have some ideas which don't want to publicly say now because I've not sat down and presented them to Mark and David yet, but I have an idea and a plan where I believe we can help in every area for the League of Ireland and help clubs improve in various areas.
In terms of your plan for the Greece game, has that changed from the conversations you've had with the players in terms of maybe initially an idea to experiment? Is it now more about trying to build confidence?
No, honestly, I'll be looking forward to when a player comes in and for you to ask them that, because we had such a positive camp. You know, I think we made strides in a lot of areas. I think that was a bump in the road, but actually one that I think everybody needed, because like I said, I think there's maybe an expectation versus reality piece. I think there's also a piece where, it's like I said, some are hurting, and now how do we help them park periods that have hurt? How do we now develop leaders? How do we not just allow Katie and Denise to take it on their shoulders? How do we help those? Because Katie and Denise are leaders, yes, but they've lost their leaders. So how do we then create that next generation of leaders? So no, I think that they're looking forward to getting in and getting going again.
Those things that are quite difficult to achieve that take time, is that stuff that all has to happen in camp, or can you work on that outside of camp?
Both. I think you know, I've challenged a few players that I know are leaders at club to really come in and use that to drive forward and express themselves on the international stage, and like I said, not leave it to one or two. So yeah, it's a tough one. It's not an easy fix, you know, I think, but one thing is for sure is I'll give them the confidence to believe that they can go and lead.
Just on you mentioned expectation versus reality, is that internal in the squad, expectation versus reality, or the noise around?
think the bigger picture, right? Probably my expectation as well. I think my expectation coming into the job versus the reality is normal. It's human. It's understanding the landscape, isn't it? And I think it's okay because, like I said, it's, you know, we've got real hunger in the group, in the players, in the staff, in the organisation to continue to move forward, and that's what you need. That's probably the most important thing.
Did you make, just on those senior players, and you know, you talk about club is obviously a different scenario and trying to keep Rusia, those senior players that left, did you try and keep them?
Yes, all of them. I actually spoke to them all. Funnily enough, I rang Julianne obviously about, you know, her daughter and my daughter, and you know, I couldn't wait for them to play together. That's when she broke the news and broke my heart, bless her. But Diane and Niamh the same. And then I'm still trying to work a solution where we get them in the environment in some capacity, because I think that's really important. I think, and particularly after the last camp, it'd be really important if we can. And then Quinny, obviously, she's out. She's just had a baby. Brilliant for her and her partner. So again, not somebody we can get in the environment, but yeah, I wanted them all.
So when I went to Latin America at the end of 2022, there was only one thing on my bucket list, and that was to go to Argentina because Lionel Messi was about to win the World Cup. And obviously what was about to happen was the biggest party in the history of humankind. Argentina, of course, held up their end of the bargain, but I was thousands and thousands of miles away, and I hadn't even got to the Southern Hemisphere at that point. This is Diverted, a 10-part original podcast series with me, Owen Shaden. We'll be telling the story of sport and other things from North America all the way down to Argentina, eventually.
I hope you can milk missing out on the World Cup as much as I managed with 86.
It's available for free wherever you get your podcasts.
This is not going great.
The future of women's football was also up for discussion when the FAI's chief football officer, Mark Canham, sat down with OTB's Nathan Murphy. They conducted a wide-ranging discussion, which you can hear for free elsewhere in the OTB football feed. Canham also addressed the FAI's treatment of former women's assistant coach Colin Healy, and he also said an FAI plan to give training minutes to a select number of the country's best players at Abbottstown isn't dead in the water, despite protests from League of Ireland clubs.
I think first thing to say is I've seen it's been sponsored as centralised. That's not the language that we're using. It's a programme to try and increase contact time, work with clubs, and that's really, really important. And it's a partnership between the two parties. We see the players staying, playing, being registered with clubs, but then in mid-term and summertime coming to us to develop and get more contact time. And I think that's really, really important because the level of contact time that they've got at the moment is not what they need. The second point I'd make is that this isn't a national academy that you maybe would have seen in other countries. Like years ago in England, you had something called Liddershaw, where you pick the best players, they trained and lived and worked with the FA. This is not that at all. This is about working in partnership with the clubs to increase that.
They obviously don't feel it's a partnership. They feel they were completely blindsided by this.
It's a plan that we've developed. It's in our Football Pathways plan around increasing contact time for those age groups. We developed the concept towards the end of last year in terms of the detail of it, and it was ready to start sharing into the new year and in February. So we spent actually most of February and into early March speaking with all of the clubs.
But as you were developing it and as you decided to develop this, you hadn't spoken to the clubs to let them know this was coming?
We've seen our plan. We've seen our Football Pathways plan, committed to it. We've talked about it. Our League of Ireland department have talked about the need to work together in terms of clubs and the FAI. And then we spoke in detail. We spoke to every single academy manager between February and March around this concept, talked in detail what it looks like. And it's been actually positively received. Obviously, in the last couple of weeks, that's got some different coverage of what that looks like and a bit of confusion about what it is. But actually, we don't see this lasting forever. We believe in club-led player development, but we have to do something. And what's the alternative if we do nothing? There's good 13, 14, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that aren't getting the level of contact time that they need to develop to be professional footballers or international footballers. So we only see this lasting for a period of time until the academies get their infrastructure right, get the investment, get the staffing right, get the quality of coaching right, that ultimately they can take responsibility for that.
The sense coming out of that letter that was written from the League of Ireland clubs where they spoke about it demonstrating a lack of regard and respect, poorly conceived, doesn't warrant serious consideration, that language would suggest this is dead in the water. They're not going to release the players.
We continue to work with the clubs. So we met with our National Leagues Committee only last week, and we spoke to the group that you're referring to in terms of that letter and said that we'll continue conversations with the National Leagues Committee over the next period of time.
So what happens if they don't release the players?
We've confirmed to them that we're not going to start the programme until they're comfortable with it, and we actually see this as a positive thing. I think it would be a really sad scenario if we get to that point where clubs don't release players, because ultimately this is for our young people, our young players, to give them the best opportunity. But we listen to their feedback. Mm. We've taken some of their views already and we'll adjust some things, but we want to make this work, and we believe this is the right thing to support players in the short term and the medium term.
They clearly feel, though, it's not the best opportunity for young players, that the best opportunity is within their own academies.
No one organisation can do this on their own. So clubs can't do this on their own. Mm. We can't do this on our own. We have to work together. And we want to make sure that that's clear moving forwards. I've worked in different countries. I've spent a lot of time at FIFA events, UEFA events, talking to different countries. Lots of other countries that are trying to do this similar type of thing. And ultimately, it's about the players, and that's what we're trying to do. And I think we just need to keep sight on that, that we all want the same thing. We all want our League of Ireland to be the best. We want our clubs to be the best. We want our international teams to be the best. And for that to be achieved, we need the best players. And we're trying to support players to make sure that they become the best players they can be.
Again, that full interview with the FAI's Chief Football Officer, Mark Hannum, is available for free in the OTB football feed. Speaking of women's football in the future, Cove Ramblers are set to become the latest side to join the Women's Premier Division. They've confirmed plans to launch a senior team in 2026, and the club has described the move as a landmark step in their history. Mason Melia made another piece of history last night. At 17 years, 6 months and 2 days, he became the youngest ever goal scorer for the Ireland under-21s. His first half penalty in Marseille gave Ireland the lead against Hungary in a friendly international. Melia beat the previous record set by Troy Parrott by exactly 1 month. Brentford's Conor McManus, making his debut at this level, scored twice in the second half to seal a 3-1 win for Jim Crawford's side. They'll commence European Championship qualifying in September with games against Moldova and Andorra. It's been reported today that Trent Alexander-Arnold has indeed informed Liverpool he'll leave the club in the summer. The defender is one of 3 key members of Arnold's slot squad, whose contract expires at the end of the current campaign. Slot had spoke of his desire to keep Alexander-Arnold, Virgil van Dijk and Mo Salah at the club, but it seems at least one has decided their future lies elsewhere. TalkSport this morning added to European reports over the last 24 hours. The 26-year-old has agreed to join Real Madrid on a free transfer. Alexander-Arnold will earn a reported €15 million a season at the Bernabeu. Michael O'Neill's Northern Ireland side are away to Sweden this evening for an international friendly. That game in Stockholm gets underway at 6 o'clock. And Wales manager Craig Bellamy and captain Ben Davies might have a score to settle when they take on North Macedonia in World Cup qualifying tonight. They were part of a side beaten in Skopje in 2013 while attempting to make the 2014 tournament. Davies says it's an experience he remembers well.
It was a tough night for us, but look, sometimes those things happen in games. I feel like we're in a different spot as a group right now. I've also been back here since with Spurs as well, so I've played here a couple of times before. It's a good place to play football, and I'm looking forward to the game.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.